Hello and welcome, my friends, to the Growth Mode Conversations podcast. We are so excited to bring you this new show. I'm Matt Major, founder and chief growth officer of Growth Mode Technologies, your local IT department. We're a different type of tech company, and while technology is our business, our purpose is growing businesses and helping our community. And that's what we're doing right here with the Growth Mode Conversations podcast. Each week, we'll interview a different local professional, learn about their life, and get some great advice on how we can all grow and succeed from their experience. The best thing you can do to participate is visit our website, growthmodetech.com, and sign up for our newsletter. In the newsletter, you're going to get updates on this podcast with the latest episodes. You're going to get some technology tips, some general business information, and some events that might be happening in the community. And of course, if you need technology services to grow your business, not just support it, but make it better, that's what we do. Again, growthmodetech.com is the place to be. But enough with the plugs and all that. Let's get into the show. Good morning. Welcome to the Growth Mode Conversations podcast. This is our first ever live attempt. And I'm recording this episode. I put it out on Tuesdays. I'm like, why don't we just do it live? And because honestly, that'll save me a lot of editing. I've got a whole process. It distributes these things for us in a million places. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I feel special that I'm the first live guest.
You should. You should.
No pressure to not mess up.
You know, we'll be lucky. I think I'm recording in like 8 different places. So when nobody watches this live and I try to post it as a podcast, that'll work.
There we go. That's a good plan B.
Joining us on the podcast this week in studio right here in downtown Syracuse. He made it all the way from downtown Utica.
That's right.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Tom Armitage. I am a team lead at SightSeeker, and we're a digital marketing agency. We're based out of upstate New York, but we have some remote workers all over the country at this point. And we were doing that even before COVID and before this became a new trendy thing.
Before we had to.
So Melinda's out in Las Vegas. We have a couple folks down in the DC area. Carl, who is a Utica guy, he's now down in Atlanta. So we're spread out, and we're having a really great year, really strong year, and we're really diversifying our digital marketing offering. So it's been
nice.
Cool.
Diversify. What does that mean?
So I've been talking to a lot of new people in over the past couple of weeks, and when I give them the spiel about SightSeeker, I love starting with the history and how we began as an SEO company. And I like always bragging that we were doing SEO before people even knew what SEO stood for.
That's awesome.
So we've been doing it for 20 years, and that was really the origins of SightSeeker. And website development and SEO kind of went hand in hand. Building websites, optimizing it, and you pop up to number one on Google, and people would pat us on the back, and we were the good guys. But as SEO began to be much more difficult, as Google got a lot more smarter, yeah. We really had to build out our offering and really build it in a way where it was full suite digital is now what we say. Where
okay.
It includes anything that the average everyday business owner would associate with digital marketing, from social media management, social media ads, to Google ads and other types of digital ad platforms, to a bit more sophisticated a piece of technology like local SEO and citations management, email automation, as well as lead intelligence and lead generation.
So literally, there's all these digital pieces everywhere we are. We're on social media, we're in email, we're doing all these different things. And your approach is to try to, I don't want to say necessarily tackle them all, but hit as many of those channels as possible for your customers.
Well, I think the best way to make it seem like it's all working together is that it all traces back to reporting and analytics.
Okay.
And that's really SightSeeker's claim to fame. A lot of agencies, a lot of great, wonderful agencies that exist out there are really visual first, design first, branding first, creative first, where we've really gone into a different direction, really from the beginning days of our history, where everything that we do needs to be measured, needs to be tracked back to the ROI of those invested dollars. And that's why I think we've had such great relationships and such great conversations with business owners that are a bit more focused
on
the ROI rather than, let's say, the marketing director that is a bit more...
A data-driven approach, you might say.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
That's the best way to describe it.
I really like that approach because, honestly, at the end of the day... You know, a lot of people in marketing are very much about the feels, you know, which is a huge part of it, obviously, definitely, especially getting your message across. But at the end of the day, you got to have that analytical part to say, is this creative working? Is this message? And that data is critical. And I think too many people skip right over it. I mean, we see that in data with all kinds of different things, but...
What's interesting is that every tool that exists out there these days has some form of reporting or tracking or analytics. And it kind of went where there wasn't enough data 20 years ago to a point where there's far too much data now. I think the word data management or big data, I forget what the query actually was. I think it was the number one search Google word a few years back.
Wow.
And it really just goes to show you like how many people are trying to lean into this, but are just drowning in information, drowning in data, drowning in spreadsheets, and the inability to make something of it, to interpret it, to connect it to reports and charts and things that you can easily see, read, understand, and actually like do something with that data. I think that's where the challenge still lies for a lot of organizations that may value data, but just has too much of it.
Sure.
Or doesn't know what to do with the data.
I'm seeing a lot of that. I watch these various mailing lists and things like that talk about the new startups and all these cool things popping up. And so many of these companies, these entire businesses are built around just analyzing other people's data. Mm-hmm. It's become, like you said, it's so overwhelming. There's a whole nother business model in just... I guess you would say reporting, but it's so much more than reporting. But
yeah, some of them are dubbing it as data visualization just because it's just big, giant spreadsheets.
Right.
Unless you can actually make it into something that's
pretty viewable. Graphs and things.
And pretty, right. But when it's pretty, you
pay attention, right?
Yeah, you can pay attention more or can interpret something out of it. There's a few tools out there that are getting better at bringing multiple data sources into one central location. Google Data Studio is the first one that comes to mind. It's the one that we use most often at SiteSeeker because it's naturally going to be able to bring in other Google platforms like Google Ads and Google Analytics. But if you're smart and intelligent and good with code and good with development, you can build integrations that port that information over into Data Studio. Microsoft has one, Microsoft Power BI, Business Intelligence. That's a really big one. Big enterprise companies use that. And there's another one that we've been demoing, which is called Domo, D-O-M-O. It's a little bit pricey, but
I've heard of that.
It's real popular, very large market share. And their differentiator is that it really integrates with virtually anything that has an open API.
They have
pre-built ones for many software out there because they're so large, and then they give you the keys to be able to build your own integrations and dump that data in, and it being able to really build reports across those software. So if I'm bringing in Facebook ads data, if I'm bringing in YouTube ads data, if I'm bringing in Google Analytics data, if I'm bringing in SEM Rush data for SEO measurement, I can mince and mesh and blend that data together now that it's all in one place. And, you know, it's far beyond my knowledge of how they actually spin and make that magic work. But it's cool as the marketer to be able to make those things happen with ease inside of the tool.
And you get the information from all these different points that, you know, were previously disconnected. Now you get the total picture. Now you can actually make a real decision. I feel like we're getting a little into the weeds, though. I want to back up for just a second. Sure. I want to ask you, you know, you are a local marketing company. You do all these wide variety of things that we're talking about. We're talking about collecting the data, but you got to have something to collect data on, right? Mm-hmm. So walk me through in the most basic sense. I'm a local business owner. I call up SiteSeeker. I say, I need to grow my business. What do you do? Where do you start?
The first place we would probably start is an audit. And I think you hate that word, if I remember right.
It's such a fitting word for so many things, but it's so, people hate hearing it, you know?
A deep dive. We'll look at the website. It's always the first place to start, especially because we deal a lot with B2B companies where their website is their lifeblood. Like that transaction, that sales conversation is not taking place unless they're nine times out of 10 going through the website. And of course you can improve the amount of conversions through live chat and sure. tracking phone calls and SMS and all the different things that your business is into. but it still is going through the website nine times out of 10. So starting with the website audit, looking at their advertising program, looking at their SEO and how well their website is optimized, looking at their social media presence, just kind of running the gamut across their entire digital profile to see how much of it is working, what's not working, how rich it is, how much opportunity there is, yeah. and also looking at a competitive landscape of where they should be compared to other competitors in that space. And then from there, we can make decisions and determinations as to if they need a new website, if they need to spend more money in advertising, what type of keywords they should be bidding on. It's a pretty sequential process, but sure. it all begins with looking at the website and diving in deep.
Is there something that you find most people on their own or somehow before they've come to you, is there something that they seem to do really well? Is there something people are really on the right page marketing wise, or do we as business owners all need a lot of hand holding?
I think personal relationships and referrals, especially small business owners,
sure.
they've done a good job with that and they continue to do a good job with yeah. that, but they haven't really taken that to the next level as to how I can build a stronger social media presence because of yeah. these personal one-to-one relationships. How can I do a better job with email marketing because of these personal one-to-one relationships? So it's like they've done a great job with networking and brand building in the traditional sense. In many cases, haven't elevated that or allowed that to transcend into the digital landscape, if that makes sense.
I see that so much, especially in my industry. There's so many local IT shops of all sizes. I mean, the biggest and multi-million dollar firms, you go to their websites and they're like 10 years old and they have no information whatsoever. But these businesses are booming, and it's because, like you said, they've made all these relationships kind of, I would say, in the traditional sense, which is ironic in the tech industry, but there's so much left on the table in the digital world. And so many of these folks don't even come up, or they have an outdated Google local listing mm-hmm. that even though they're in business, none of the information is correct. And it kind of blows my mind, but at the same time, it just speaks to me to the opportunity that exists. You know, if you've got that traditional piece in order and now you can line up that digital piece, I feel like you're unstoppable at that point.
A lot of business owners and businesses have done a good job of creating a really great product or really great service. But if no one can find you, if yes. no one can see it, if no one can learn about it, if no one can appreciate it, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's a tree falling in the forest.
Sure.
It's a sound, right? It, as much as that is important, and that is very, 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 very important,
yeah.
it is where you need to start, because great marketing can't save a bad product or service.
Right.
So you do have to start there.
At the end
there.
Of the day, you got to have something to sell.
You do need a fantastic product or service, or else your business will fail. But you still need that second part, which is distribution and getting people to see it, learn about it, read about it, and
yeah.
be aware of it and fall in love with it and make a decision around it, or else your business is going to fail also in that regard.
Right. Right. It's wild when you see the different things and you see the things that are possible. So talking about the things that are possible, you've been in this business, you've been with SiteSeeker for a while now. What's one of your favorite projects?
I really like marketing automation.
And okay.
I've been talking about it a lot lately because a lot of business owners understand email because it's been around for quite
sure.
a while. It's now kind of considered a traditional tactic at this point.
People are talking about it's on the way out, you know.
Yeah, we can get touch on the Apple update too. But automation kind of takes email into a whole different level. It incorporates form fills and database management and text message marketing and live chat and being able to automate responses and push messages based on interactions that they have on your website. It really is. Email is just one small piece of
yeah.
that pie now, but a lot of people use those as synonyms. And that's
sure.
somewhat bothering as somebody that's in the industry, because it's so much more than that. So it's not it. you can't really compare them apples to apples at all, because an automation tool does email, but about 500 other things. Sure. So if you're at a level where you've grown and you've matured beyond email marketing, then you certainly need to give some of these automated tools a chance and consideration, because they can do so much more for your business.
You know, I've looked into a bunch of these, and I honestly sat through a demo in your office of one of your solutions, and we really got in depth. And what you're saying is it's truly, to me, it's almost like another person. You know, it's not just automation. You literally have, you know, it's not artificial intelligence. You've programmed it, but it's a whole conditional of everything that happens and it emails you. And if I take action on this email, it's going to send me a different type of email. And if I don't, it's going to harass me and go, hey, did you see my email? And it all looks like a natural, organic thing that a person is chasing you down. And meanwhile, you're really going through the system without burning the time of a sales guy who, you know, gets paid by the hour.
That's a really great way to look at it, because you could carry these actions out manually if you wanted to, but we just don't have the time.
Right.
No business has the time to pay somebody in salary as to what it would cost in software fees and the labor that was taken into that setup work. So it's a great tool.
Well, that's what it is to me, is it's like, you know, you got your sales process and your sales best practices, but we know in reality with human beings, you know, if there's something going on or we're busy, steps get skipped and things like that. It's just natural. Mm-hmm. But if you have this system that drives everybody through your exact process, and it's not bothering a person, it doesn't care that today's busy. You know what I mean? To me, that's the type of automations, not just in marketing, but in general, that I really am trying to talk to clients about, mm-hmm. just in business, mm-hmm. because there's so many of these tools that span communication, sales, customer service, you know, user support, tech support, that are automated. And, you know, people are having struggling to find employees, and the people that they have, they're very overworked. We always said automation is going to replace everybody. It's not. No, it's not at all.
It's definitely not.
But it's going to make the people that you have, it's going to make their job a little easier, a little less stressful. And that's the things that I'm trying to stress. And like I said, not to mention the fact that it's just, in many cases, there's so many advantages.
It's taking place automatically. So nothing's ever going to get missed as long as it's programmed properly. I just finished up putting a presentation together. I'm speaking in Utica in a couple of weeks to an association of researchers and nonprofits, mm-hmm. and the focus of the presentation is, I'm hitting on this very heavily, because there's so much talk these days about customer service and making sure that you're providing excellent customer service and it's taking place across the digital channels that that your audience is most likely to feel comfortable using. And I'm such an advocate of that, because you have some folks that want to pick up the phone and call. You have mm-hmm. some people that want to use live chat. You have some people that want to use social DMs. Some people that are going to email you, and that's okay that they might wait a day or two for the response. But all of that needs to be contained inside of a single portal, so you can easily manage it, and you have your customer service team that can easily and effectively respond to it. Then, of course, it needs to be tracked too, because you want to see what the most effective channels are into fostering those relationships, or on the flip side, generating those relationships and those conversations.
It's funny, you seem to be very closely describing the product that we have called Beyond Telephone,
which was not planned.
I know. It's funny. I'm like, hey man, a tool that does all these in one platform and connects to Salesforce. Yeah, we got that. But you're absolutely right. And that's the thing. It's one of the reasons that we started pushing that particular solution. I honestly wasn't planning on talking about it. But because it takes all those pieces and puts them in one house. And we've got so many awesome tools out there. And like I said before, I get the email list every day. Here's another 20 new startups and SaaS offerings that are awesome. Mm-hmm. But you're overwhelmed and you've got to get things in an organized place, just like we've been talking about with everything. single platforms, tools that talk to each other. That's where it's at.
What's also interesting is that it's not generational. There was a poll that was on LinkedIn, and I grabbed screenshots from it to put into this presentation I'm working on. And it wasn't even an age thing as to, I feel more comfortable on the phone, I feel comfortable sending through social DM. It was environmental and timing. I'm okay waiting 3 days on this response. I'm okay filling out a form. I need a response right now. Sure. It's urgent. I'm going to go through phone or live chat. So it needs to, those channels need to be present, because it's not like you can say my target audience is, you know, 55-year-old females that live in the urban community.
Right.
I'm not going to do this channel, because it's totally based on time and need and not based on profile or buyer personas.
Yeah. And to me, in all honesty, the more places that somebody could reach you, that's, make that as easily as possible.
Turn off the ability for someone to get in touch with you and do business.
I keep talking about text messaging, you know, and businesses are behind the curve on being able to send and receive text messages on the phone number that you hand out on your business card. You know, and you've got salespeople that are giving out their personal cell phone number just so they can have that interaction that the customer wants. Right.
They're doing it anyways. The hungry, active, aggressive salespeople that...
And that's the thing. But the other thing that I tell people is, great, that sales guy, he's made all these contacts. He's got all these customers. They call him on Saturday night and he just got a new job, and your competitor just got all those customers too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, where we have a system that... it's part of the business. You know, they leave, it's just like their extension on their desk. Well, they don't take those contacts with them, but they still get the interaction, the ease that the customers want. But that's another pitch. We are almost out of time, but I want to first, for our first live interaction, shout out to the folks on Twitch, because I haven't streamed on Twitch in a while, but you guys are Johnny on the spot when we go live. So thank you for that. We'll see if this is happening on LinkedIn. I was excited about doing the LinkedIn streaming to see what that would do.
I couldn't get LinkedIn live. I've put in for it twice now, and I can't. They won't approve me.
It's a weird thing. And by the way, you're not supposed to talk about LinkedIn live on LinkedIn live. That's literally a rule they sent me. So we might get kicked off because I even mentioned it.
Oh, but, shoot.
It's so weird. They're like, give useful advice, but don't talk about how to stream. What?
That doesn't make any sense.
It's LinkedIn is the most bizarre platform ever, but that's a whole other story.
People want to know how they can submit and be accepted for it.
Right.
So apparently you got to just do that through a regular text.
I think we're technically live on LinkedIn. I don't know if anybody will see it. Right? But
we're going to find out.
This is great. So growthmodetech.com is the website for this show. Tom, where can people find you? How should they get a hold of you? We're talking about all these different ways. What's the preferred way to get a hold of you if they need you?
So our company's website is site-seeker.com. You can sign in there, check us out. You can find my profile as well as my colleagues' profiles and get in touch with us through there. If you want to find me personally, I'm super active on LinkedIn. As Matt knows, Thomas J. Armitage. You'll find me on LinkedIn, and I'll always accept your friend request.
I should put it on the screen right now. My LinkedIn feed is literally nothing but posts from Tom and then posts from strangers because Tom posts the comments down there.
I just found out that was the case a couple of days ago.
It's incredible. But, you know, I've jumped in some of these conversations, and they're saying, you know, the comments is where a lot of the business takes place. So
absolutely.
I can't totally knock that.
Another shameless plug, too. We're doing weekly webinars.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yep. So each Wednesday throughout October, our company is carrying out a webinar. It's in Utica. So if you are local, you can sign up and be there in person. We just have to limit it because of the space to 10 folks in person. But anyone can sign on to the webinar. And each week we'll be talking about a different piece of technology. Marketing automation will be one of them. SMS and text message customer service tool will be another one. We have a lead intelligence tool and Yext local SEO and local citations.
Wow. That's incredible. The information that you can pick up from there. And I understand you got a new office downtown, right?
We're really, really pumped about
it. I haven't seen it yet. So that sounds exciting. If you're in the Utica area, go check that out and learn some stuff.
Absolutely.
Because that's a valuable thing to do. Thank you, everybody, for watching, listening. However you're consuming this incredible podcast, please share it with your friends. And if you want to be a guest, we're talking to local business people. You got something to offer. If you're not a local business person, if you're some guy on the street who has great advice for the central New York area, I would love to have you on Growth Mode Conversations. So with that, we'll close out and we will see you next time.
Thanks, Matt.